7:20, it's the 20th of March, and it's the deadline today for women affected by the PIP breast implant scandal to file compensation claims against the firm that made them. 5 years ago, an investigation found that non-medical grade silicone was used in them, making them prone to rupture. It's thought that about 20,000 people are going to end up filing claims. But in the UK, there are problems tracing those affected because there was no national register. We have no idea where these implants are. Let's talk to Mr. Jonathan Stayano, who's a member of the British Association of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons and has done many implants. He's with us on the show. Morning, Jonathan.
Morning, Shane.
Have you ever used any of these PIP implants at all?
I haven't, no. I think we always knew that they were at the cheaper end of the market as far as implants go. We certainly didn't know that they had non-medical grade silicone, but fortunately not many fully trained plastic surgeons and BARPS members use them.
I'm presuming it's a bit like medication and drugs, is it? You look at it and then you make a decision as to whether you want to use these kind of things, and you kind of all decided that you wanted to stay away from them.
That's right. I mean, I see a lot of patients who have got these implants in or have had these implants in who say, oh, I didn't realise, I thought I was getting a high quality of surgery. But the fact was, back in the day, people didn't really ask what sort of implants you were using. And so this has actually raised awareness now. So patients are asking about what implants we're using, where they're made, what sort of warranty they've got. People were less informed and didn't really know what implants the surgeons were using. It was up to the surgeon to choose.
And is it unusual that we don't know where these things are or don't know where these patients are now? I mean, if I said to you, could you tell me where or produce a list of the people that you've done implant surgery on, are you required to keep that, or is it usual that we wouldn't know where these patients are?
It's frightening, isn't it? It is up to the practitioner. I have a log. I log the serial number of every implant that I use. Mm. I write to the GP. I write to the patient. The patient gets a card of the implant that they have. But there is no central registry where if we come up with another issue with a type of implant that we can just pull off all that data. The data is all with each individual surgeon and practice and hospital. And so, yes, I do have a list and a database. But it's something that I personally have and feel that's important.
You're not compelled to keep it, but you kind of think, why wouldn't you want to do that? To just keep a record of the surgery that you've undertaken. You mentioned serial numbers as well, Jonathan. Is because they are an inferior quality. Do these things have serial numbers as well? Is that a legal requirement?
Yes, they will have serial numbers. But it's not a legal requirement to document which serial number you're putting where. But they will, all the PIP as well as all the implants that we use do have serial numbers. And they have stickers which we give to the patients with all the details of the implant on it.
So if somebody's listening this morning and thinks, well, hang on, so I had breast surgery a while ago and I'm really not quite sure whether I'm one of these people who, you know, either could be in line for compensation or indeed could be at health risk, who would I see? I mean, because the health service presumably aren't going to want to know, are they?
Yeah, well, the first protocol, I mean, personally, I always write to the patient. So, but the problem is, a lot of these people have had surgery 10 years ago.
Right.
So I always write to the patient, but a lot of people, they filed it away, haven't got it. But again, always copy to the GP. We're encouraged to send copies to the GPs. And even if you move GPs, your notes should move with you. So if you haven't got records yourself, the GP might have records. Obviously, the best protocol is to go back to the provider who performed the surgery. But a lot of surgery is performed by small clinics and small providers rather than the bigger hospitals. And so sometimes they go out of business, and that's where the issue comes, where the provider has gone out of business or retired or moved away. If you go to one of the more major private hospitals, they will all collate and keep their records, and they'll be able to find them for you.
I know you keep up to date with professional journals and stuff like that. What's the school of thought in the industry about PIP? Is there going to be any money to compensate these people, do we know?
Well, I hope so. The question is, who pays? That's the problem. I think that I think you can't
and the number as well, isn't it?
They deserve compensation, these individuals, because they've in good faith had these implants, which have caused them great distress and often had to have further surgery.
But 20,000 people, they're estimating, that's a hell of a class action, isn't it?
And a
large sum to come out of it at the end, by.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that there's no argument about the fact that there's a wrong has been done, and I think the argument and the discussions will come about who is responsible and who is liable.
Jonathan, always a pleasure. Thank you. That's Mr. Jonathan Stayana, who's a member of the British Association of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons, joining us on The Breakfast Show this morning.